Good morning and welcome to Hal Sifran Gospel Blog Talk Radio. Come to you from 231 6th Avenue. We're located here in Beatrice, Alabama. This is a Sunday morning. Today's Sunday School lessons for October the 18th. Be lesson number 17. Coming to you from Antioch Missionary Baptist Church, 45 Church Street, Peterman, Tom Springs, Alabama, 36471. Our telephone number is 251-564-2171. The church, where everybody is somebody and Christ is the head. Reverend Waylon Oliver is our pastor. Sister Joyce Oliver is our first lady. And our clerk is Miss Lisa Starworth. Sunday school, due to the COVID-19 for the last several months, has been broadcast from House C Production Gospel Radio Studios here in Beatrice, Alabama. We have Sunday school every Sunday morning at 9:30. Sometimes we do it at 6:30 in the morning when we post it. But you can download it and listen to it as often as you like at our House C Production Gospel Blog Talk Radio. Our worship service comes on 2nd, 4th, 5th, and Sundays at 11 a.m. And since COVID-19 plague has been with us for some time, we have been doing services at Antioch Baptist Church from the church door with Brother Corey Robinson, our musician, broadcasting and posting it on our church website as well as Facebook. And we thank you for your support over the past several months and years. Let us go to the throne. Our Father and Savior, Jesus Christ, the maker and creator of all things. Thank you, Jesus, for this day and this hour. In this time that we sit down and bring the lesson to you as thou has led us to teach it from your word. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the pastors of our church, Reverend Oliver and Sister Oliver, as they toil daily to uplift and continue your word, to bring your word to his flock, in whom God has given him charge, of Antioch Baptist Church there in Tunnel Spring, as well as his church over at Daniel Baptist over in Frisco City. Thank you, Jesus, for those that have been listening over these months. Help them to grow and help us to say something that will help them, lead them in the manner in which they walk in this life, Jesus. Thank you for the time and situation that we're going through in this nation. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for the leaders that you have raised up and the leaders that you will raise up. Be with us and guide them, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. On behalf of all of us here at Antioch and in my home, Jesus, which I broadcast, I thank you for this opportunity, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. These many blessings we ask in thy Son, Jesus' name. Amen. Love thy neighbor. Devotional reading is John, the 5th chapter, verses 1 through 15. Our background scripture comes from Leviticus, the 19th chapter, 18th. Verse and the 34th verse, Luke, the 10th chapter, verses 25 through 37. Our print text is also Luke, the 10th chapter, 25th through 37th verse. Our background scripture, our key verse for today. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. Luke, the 10th chapter, verses 36 through 37. What does it mean to love thy neighbor? It means to love thy neighbor in spite of who they are, what they are, what they got. There was a post that I saw the other day, and they asked the question, it was a young lady that we had had the opportunity to work with as a musician, and do singing, country and gospel, southern gospel singer here in locally here in Beatrice, Monrovia area. She asked the question. She had an old dilapidated house as a picture, and she asked the question, would you love me if I lived in this house, or would you care for me if I lived in this house? And my answer emphatically was yes. It does not matter what your house looks like or what your house you live in or what property you have. I will love you anyway, God willing. Thank you for that. Thank you. Let's go to our lesson for today, Luke, the 10th chapter, verses 25 through 37. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? What a question. What shall you do to inherit eternal life? Do as God's word say. Do as God's word. Go and do thou likewise. And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Who do you show mercy to? Who are you showing mercy to today? Show mercy as Jesus Christ has shown mercy on you. Verse number 26, he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? Jesus asked the person that's questioning him, What does the law show to you? What did the law say to you? He said, Where is it written in the law? How readest thou? And it was, there's a conversation between a person and Jesus Christ. And he answered and said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor, thou shalt love thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Jesus is telling the listener, the asker, the questioning one that's questioning him, what he should do to inherit eternal life. Eternal life is a life that you will live somewhere, heaven or hell, after you leave this earth. It's not just what's going on here. It's not just over when you die. You just don't go back to dirt. There's a place where God will take your soul and where your soul will reside for eternity, heaven or hell. And that's based on what you do down here on earth. Let's go to verse number 28. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. He said to him, Thou hast answered right, to this do, and thou shalt live. He's telling him what he should do. He gave him the answer. Thou shalt love thy neighbor. Thou shalt love the Lord, thy God, with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Just like you love yourself, you love God as well. Let's look at verse number 29. But he's willing to justify himself and unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? The questioner of Jesus Christ is justifying himself. In other words, giving more credence and identity to himself. Okay? We often do that, but for different reasons. But he said, willingly to justify himself and unto Jesus, and who is he? He asked Jesus, Who is my neighbor? Who is your neighbor? Your neighbor is who you treat right. Your neighbor is anybody that is a stranger. Your neighbor is anybody that you love. That's who your neighbor is. And Jesus answered and said, A certain man went down into Jerusalem, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Jesus gives an example of a person that had been attacked by others, and who had took his clothes, who had wounded him, and for all intents and purposes had taken all that he had and left him in a ditch to die. And they left him in assuming that he was dead, but he was not. That will happen to you sometime. That will happen to others as well. And the question is, what will you do when you come along and you see that person in God's condition? Will you go look the other way? Will you not even respond? What will you do? What will you do when you see somebody in distress and their life is in danger or about to die? Will you reach out to them? God is asking the question. Jesus is asking that question. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Look at that. The priest, the teacher of God's word, the person that's supposed to be have the heart to love and to do what? He's talking about a preacher, a teacher, somebody like myself or somebody like a pastor that profess to love Jesus Christ and teach God's word. And it's one thing to give lip service to God's word, but it's another thing to take action with God's word. And to take action with God's word means that you see somebody in danger, that means you will help them. What will you do? What will you do? And he's signaling, Jesus points out the priest, the person that is supposed to have so much love in their heart and empathy for others. It's not always so, okay? And likewise, the Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. Two different types of characters. Which one are you? Which one are you? Are you like the priest? Are you like the Levite? Which one are you? Which one are you? Which one are you? Will you go across to the other side and leave the person in danger alone to die, perhaps? But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And I must take note here of the people, racism interact with. Certain people don't interact with certain people. Certain black people don't interact with certain Mexicans, Jews, or Puerto Ricans, or other people. Certain white people don't interact with certain Africans, or Jews, or whoever. That's racism. And here in this case, the people that were God's people, the Jews, had nothing to do with the Samaritans. How about that? Had nothing to do with the Samaritans. Remember, Jesus went to the well and was talking to a lady that he was not supposed to be interacting with. That's the thing about Jesus Christ and his teaching. He breaks the mold of what we consider to be normal. And here in the United States, there is a state of mind where a lot of people are racially prejudiced and they won't interact with others, won't help others. They only help, say, black folks. That means all human beings, regardless of who you are, you are capable of being a racist or a person like the Jews were about the Samaritans. You don't interact with them. You think you're too good. They are beneath you. That is all of that teaching and all those unsettling mindset of worldly situations is no good. That's absolutely no good at all. God does not like that. That is sin. That is evil. You should love your neighbor and all people just as you love yourself. Jesus has said so in his word. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and where he saw him, he had compassion on him. Who do you have compassion on? Who do you have compassion on? Do you have compassion on anybody? What is compassion? That's empathy. That's love. That's feeling for them. It's just like you caring for yourself. If you got a wound or a cut on your hand, you'll heal it. You treat it, you bandage it up. You would do that to others as well if you have love and compassion in your heart. And he went to him and bound up his wounds. See what he did? He went and bound his wounds up, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast. Set him on his own beast. Look at that. Whatever he was riding was right there. And the Samaritan fixed him up, treated him. It's like treating him with bandages and alcohol and all the things that you need, oil and whatever you need to do to treat his wounds. And that's what he did. And set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn. And even took him to an inn to house him until he gets well, and took care of him. That's a powerful thing. That's real love. That's love in action. That's showing compassion and action as God would have it be. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host. And I was the man that had, that owned the hotel, that was the caretaker of where he, the man was. The man, the Samaritan, took out money and left for him to take care of him after he's gone. What a heart. What a heart. A loving, compassionate heart that is. And said unto him, take care of him. Whatsoever thou spendest more, I will come again and I will repay thee. Oh, look at that. What a powerful example of love and compassion. Like Jesus would do. Like God would do. Like a love would do. A love for a person. Which now of these thou thinkest was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? After Jesus gave this parable and talked to him, he's asking the man that is asking him question. He asks, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? Which one of them, huh? Which one of them? The priest that went on to the other side? The Levite that looks the other way? The Samaritans that stopped on his journey and attended to his wound? Three different types of people. Three different types of people. Which one are you? Which one are you? Are you like the Samaritans that help? Are you like the Levite that went away, didn't help? Are you like the priest or the teacher that went over to the other side? I mean, they didn't just pass by him on the side in which he was on. They went all the way over to the other side of the road. Oh, look at that. Oh, man. And he said, he that showed mercy to him, then Jesus said unto him, go and do likewise. The person that in which Jesus is talking to has some sense of responsibility, even though he's asking questions for meticulous reasons unknown to him. But God knows, but he does not go into it. Love for one another. This is still talking about inclusive love. This is a different type of love than just a love that you show surfacely. This is inclusive. That means you're involved in it. Okay, you take active part in it. After participating in this lesson, each learner will be able to define neighbor as Jesus does and provide current examples. Who is your neighbor? Tell me, who is your neighbor? Talk to me about who your neighbor is. Do you know who your neighbor is? Your neighbor is the one whom you love. Your neighbor is the one whom you care for. Your neighbor is whom I'm thinking about the boxes that are being delivered periodically in this area and how people would take them to certain people. Certain people they won't take them to, but certain people they will take them to. That's love in action. Okay, explain the importance of how Jesus shifts the focus from legalized into true obedience, legalism. Oh, legalism, that's the law stuff. That's lawful that you can do. The man's Bible is a law book. God's word is the truth and the foundation. True obedience comes from obeying God's word. The Bible here, the Word of God. Jesus denounced the indifference. Sectarians rebuked. Humanity, the secret greatness. Jesus again foretells his death. Disciples trusted. Powerful word. The seventh sent forth. These are God's words. Jesus denounces indifference. A law against Jesus. Parable of the Good Samaritan. This is where we are today. God's word is true. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's not just Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's all of the 66 books of the Bible. I believe God's word. Absolutely. All right. Make plans to proactively love a neighbor he or she has historically preferred to avoid. What about you? Is there somebody that you know you deliberately have shunned and not been around and looked the other way? I'm thinking about that right now at this very moment. there used to be a certain people that I knew I didn't exactly cater to or make my way toward or interact with. But in my latter years here, I have made it my business to cross that line, like Jesus Christ did with the Samaritans. Like we said before, the Jews and Samaritans had nothing to do with each other. The Samaritans were of a mixed race. How about you? What about the situation in which President Barack Obama, a mixed race, a European and a African mix, what the slave masters back then called a mulatto? What are your words about them? There is such hatred and jealousy in this nation, even right now, because of President Barack Obama and his wife and family that were housed in what is called, we call, the White House. There's a bit of distaste and hatred for that even today. All right. Okay. Good Samaritans at altitude. Lesson context, the questions, Luke 10 to 25th, 10th chapter, 25th through to 29, regarding eternal life, regarding neighbors. The question was asked, what does it take to earn eternal life? Do you know what it takes to earn eternal life, to get it? In fact, you don't earn it. Jesus Christ gives it to you through grace and his love for you. What does it take to get eternal life? Love thy neighbor as yourself. Love God with all your heart. That's what it takes. Okay. The victim. Who is the victim? Somebody that has gotten hurt. Do you help them? What do you do? Will you be one of the three that it was used in the parable of the Samaritan? Two potential heroes did nothing. Two potential heroes absolutely did nothing. The priest and the Levite, they did nothing. Our actual hero, the actual hero was the Samaritan. The one that nobody wants to be around is the one that came to the rescue of the man in distress and in danger of dying. All right, short review. That's in 36 and 37, we will get to that. Lifetime call. What is the calling on your life? Is your lifetime call a life of shunning those that are in need or running away from problems and helping nobody and just helping yourself, helping only who you can help, who will help you? Looking for loopholes, way to get around helping people, the law and what it says, and the true love of Christ, God's word. Which one are you? Prayers. Are you praying? Thoughts to remember. What are you praying for? What's on your mind now? What are your thoughts? Okay. The Good Samaritan at altitude. Let us begin here. Late in September 2018, Joshua Mason and his girlfriend, Katie Davis, flew from Texas to Colorado. The next day, Joshua took Katie on a hike in the mountain northwest of Denver. After hiking about 8 miles, they reached the nearby 13,000-foot summit of Jasper Peak. Joshua was hoping to find an isolated and beautiful spot to pop the question. Jasper Peak provided such a location, and Katie said yes to the surprise proposal. But then things took a turn because they didn't have the trailhead till about they didn't leave the trailhead until about noon, and the trail to Jasper Peak isn't clearly marked. The newly engaged couple became lost and disoriented when it started to get dark. Far from cell phone service, they weren't equipped, dressed, or camped overnight in the cold and high country, and they only had a little water. Coming to a cliff and unable to go any further, they began yelling for help. They are in a predicament now. They are in a predicament now. They started out with very good intentions and love intentions in their heart and a special place to propose to his fiance, but now the tide has turned. About midnight, a camper who was hiking in the area heard their screams. When they discovered Joshua and Katie, they were showing signs of altitude sickness, and severe dehydration. He led them to a group of his friends who were camping at a nearby lake. The campers provided the couple with water, food, and shelter in their tent, trying to help them get warm. But recognized the seriousness and situation, one of the campers hiked down to her vehicle and drove to where the couple called 911. Look at that. Look what is happening there. Rescue crews traveled. Joshua and Katie, about rescue crews reached them about 4:30 a.m., determined that they needed to move to a lower altitude. Immediately, the rescuers escorted them down to the trailhead. The story includes several Good Samaritans who went out of their way to help Joshua and Katie. Today, we will consider the scripture passage that prompts that now common term, the Good Samaritan. All right, the Good Samaritan. The lesson in context. In Gospel of Luke recounts Jesus' ministry in three serious sections. Events in around Galilee, Jesus on his way to Jerusalem, and the third, the events of Jesus' final week in Jerusalem. Luke's gospel is unique in its central section, which begins shortly before our lesson text. The majority of the parables found in Luke are located in this section, the first being the parable in our text, which is the Good Samaritan. A primary theme of Jesus' ministers in Judea was God's love for the lost and lowly. You keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. Helping the poor and the lowly, those that do not have. God loves it when you help people that do not have or poor. Remember that. Focus your ministry in your mind on helping the least of these among us. God loves that. God loves that. That is good. That is good. The outcasts, for instance. Judea was God's love for the lost and lowly. Sinners, example. Luke 15, outcasts, examples in 14 and 15, Samaritans and poor. Jesus' countercultural teaching in the last lesson text in Luke the 6th chapter 27 to 37 challenges us to demonstrate inclusive love even toward our enemies. Today's text calls us upon us again to practice inclusive love. In the passage just prior to our text, his fellow pairs and proclaiming thoroughly words and deeds that the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. Look at that. The kingdom of God is coming nigh to you when you are involved in situations of the needy and poorly and low esteem. Not necessarily when I say low esteem, when I mean low, they have nothing. They can give you nothing. They need stuff. They have no clothes. They have no remnants. They have no money. They have no house. They have no car. They have nothing other than the earthly life which God has given them and immediately items of sufficiency which they do have, but they do not have the wealth. Think about your wealth and what you have, your car, your home. Think about me personally, what I have here in this studio, what I have in my home, what I have in the refrigerator, which has been purchased through God's grace and love for us. Think about your condition. You are better off than most people of the lowliest seem. You know more poor people that have less than you. Do you come in contact with him? Do you reach out to him? Huh? In the passage of the Good Samaritan, the parable of the Good Samaritan, this is what it's teaching, okay? He follows in pairs to proclaim through words, deeds, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. Both Jesus and his 70 emissaries rejoiced as God power for working through them. Remember when he sent out the 70? I spoke about that briefly. The 70 sent forth. After these things, this is in Luke the 10th chapter. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two by two before his face and into every city and place where he himself would come. He sent them out. God sends us out every day. Remember, he says, go ye to you. Remember, that was one of the commands he gave before he left. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Preaching, teaching, loving, being inclusive in love. The parable is unique to Luke, but its subject matter and setting are similar to texts found in Matthew and Mark. Matthew, the 22nd chapter, the 34th and 40th verse, and Mark, the 12th chapter, 18th through 31st, and clearly parallels to one another. But the connection to Luke is less certain. Compare Luke 10:27 below. The lesson events appears to be a separate incident covering the same theme. Let's look at that question regarding eternal life. And behold, a certain lawyer. Oh, look at that. A lawyer who was well read in the astute languages of the Jewish customs and things in the life. And he's a lawyer, stood up and tempted him. Tempting Jesus. Lawyers do that. Lawyers do not have the right heart. Which type of person are you? Are you like the lawyer? Are you going to tempt Jesus? Huh? When you're asking something for meticulous reasons that are not from the heart? Huh? This man wasn't a lawyer in the sense familiar to us, but rather was a scholar educated in the Old Testament law and in Jewish traditions, as I said before, surrounding it. The fact that the lawyer stood up and the case Jesus was speaking to his listeners were sitting. This was a typical respectful pose when listening to a rabbi teach. The idea of tempting is the same as in Jesus tempting in Luke, the 4th chapter, verses 1 through 13, which can be appropriately also considered a test. Eventually, the lawyer wasn't sincerely seeking to be taught by Jesus as much as he was interested in how Jesus would answer. What about you? When you are seeking answers and things, are you doing it for a particular reason, to show somebody else, to do something else? God knows what's in your heart now, and he will judge those things in which you do. We have to wonder if the lawyer was hoping to show up Jesus. Look at that. Do you do things to show up people? Saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? By calling Jesus Master, the lawyer at least wanted to give the impression that he respected Jesus. He didn't respect him. He wanted to give the impression of respect. Do you do that? That's a question for you. He said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? God asked him, you asked me a question, now I ask you, how do you read it? What, you well read. You know what's going on. You tell me, what is written? How readest thou? Instead of answering immediately, Jesus asked him a question. Given the fact that the question is a Jewish scholar, it is fitting that Jesus ask him how he reads and interprets the law. How about you? How do you read and interpret God's word? How do you read and interpret the law? The law that says when you come to a stop sign and tells you to stop. How do you interpret that, huh? A simple question. The lawyer replying alludes the great Shema of Deuteronomy 6:5, which Jesus recited daily. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do and thou shalt live. Jesus seemingly found word to the lawyer was this commandment of the man's right answer. To that lawyer add the law, love. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. These answers show that the lawyer knew more. Mere ruling keeping was not the path to light. Instead, love of God expressed a love for neighbors that leads to life. This combination of loving the Lord, your God, and loving your neighbor as yourself become known as the Great Commandment. The Great Commandment. Love yourself and love others. What a command regarding your neighbor. But he's willing to justify himself. The lawyer found himself challenging. Commentary showed that so looked to justify himself. Although the lawyer acknowledged previously that Leviticus, that thou shalt love thy neighbor, He took advantage of the ambiguity of the word neighbor in the original context. Look at that. How about that? God is deciphering and deciding things and clearly cutting through the shroud of deception that the person is asked. How about you? Do you do the same thing in real life here that this man is doing? Do stuff for falsetto, for fakeness, to just to get away with it. To see, can you wrap somebody up or trip somebody up, bring somebody down or show somebody up? What is your heart lining? Where are you in that? Love for neighbor is the love for fellow Israelites, although the love was to be extended to strangers who came to Israel from other lands and lived among them. Look, what a question for today. What are we doing for immigrants, the people that come to this country, the people that prepare at their restaurants, and people that harvest our food out in the field that you don't harvest yourself, the food that you purchase in the grocery store? Someone else, probably from a foreign country, is harvesting that food for you. Because we as a nation, now we do not do the task that we started out doing. We could, before, we did work wherever we could get our hands on. It doesn't matter. We were trying to make it. These people coming to this country are trying to make it. How about it? How do you treat them? Huh? How do you treat them? Okay? Do you love them as you love yourself? Who do you want to be a neighbor? Who want you to be a neighbor? Who would live besides you? What's the question? Mr. Rogers' Neighbor began airing in 1968 and ran for 895 episodes. Dressed in his signature Cardigan sweater, Mr. Rogers invited children to visit his neighbor with this interesting, "Won't you be my neighbor?" Remember? Fred Rogers trained to be by a priestly Presbyterian minister, but decided to go into television because he hated the medium TV. While the children programs typically featured animation and frantic action, Rogers labeled these features as bombardment. In other words, bombardment with stuff that may not necessarily be good for the child. He did not play a character, as did his contemporaries like Captain Kangaroo, Scooby Sales. Rogers believed that being one's honest self, one of the greatest gifts one person can give to another. Truth and honesty and integrity as to who you are. Fred Rogers was not afraid to expand his neighborhood during a time of racial segregation. How about that? What an example. What an example. Mr. Rogers was shown cooling his feet in a pool a hot day with officers Clemon, an African-American policeman. In addition, Rogers championed children with disabilities that showed inclusive love. Having a young quadriplegic boy demonstrated how a wheelchair worked. Rogers did not ask, "Who is my neighbor?" He knew who his neighbor was. How about you? Do you know who your neighbor is? The victim, and Jesus answered, a certain man went down to Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves. Are you one that have fell among thieves and been hurt? Did somebody come help you? Since Jerusalem was about 2,000 feet above sea level, and Jericho about 800 feet below sea level, a traveler setting out from Jerusalem certainly would have gone down in order to reach Jericho. Winding its way through rocky deserts, the place is a perfect place for thieves and scoundrels, an opportunity to ambush travelers and take their possession. The perfect environment to do harm to somebody. There's a perfect environment where you can help somebody as well, but there are other folks lying in wait. That's where the devil is. He seeks to destroy you. He seeks to sift you as wheat. All right? That's what this evil person is doing. There are people in the world just like that today on October the 18th, this Sunday morning, doing just that. Two potential heroes. The two potential heroes, as we well know, was the Levite, and the other one was the priest. What did they do? We asked that question before. One actually was the hero. That was the Samaritan. about a certain Samaritan. He actually went out and did something to help somebody. He was inclusive. He didn't cross over to the other side like the others did. They didn't just leave him there. They went and helped. What do you do when you see somebody? Do you go and help? I'm repeated, but I'm driving a point home. And he went to him and bound up his wound, pouring oil and wine and treating him. What about that? In stark contrast to the inactivity of the priest and the Levite, Samaritan actually ministered to the needy man. Both Jews and Greeks appear to have used wine and oil wildly for medical purposes because of the wine has an alcohol content. All right? And it's just the same thing as the alcohol that we use now. That's inside the contents of the wine. Olive oil would ease the man's pain. The Samaritan then sent him on his beast and went and took him to some poor hotel and that left him and left money to take care of him and told him that he'll come back and take care of him later if you need to be. You just helped this man. What about you? Will you do that? Do you do that? And on the morrow, I'll come back. How unexpected. The English language doesn't have a word that completely captures the idea of unexpected heroes, such as we see in the case of the Good Samaritan. Various words have been proposed, such as antihero, picario, or other partial success problems that those words are otherwise bring them a nuisance that may not apply to the unexpected hero under consideration. What about it? A pecan, for example, is a social outcast. Do you know any social outcasts? Do you? Do you happen? The Good Samaritan was a social outcast. Well, that status was due to no behavior of his own. Rather, it was an issue of bloodline. He was mixed. Jesus used unexpected heroes in parables to challenge contemporary thinking. That's what takes place today. Go beyond the normalcy of what people expect. Be outside of the box. Don't be, just like they say, status quo, as it's termed that they use in political terms. Just like everybody else, be different. Love as Jesus Christ loves you in spite of your iniquity. When I say in spite of your iniquity, God loves Freddie Howard in spite of the sins and things that I do that are not right. God loves you as well in spite of the sins and things that you do not right. You may think you are right, but you may be just as wrong as two left shoes. All right. Directing, a short review. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? Having finished his parable, Jesus countered the lawyer's question with one of his own. The lawyer had asked, "Who is my neighbor?" And Luke 10:29, Jesus challenged the question and shifted the focus to who acted like a neighbor, who was inclusive, who showed action, who did not cross over to the other side, who did not scorn. Sometimes in my situation, I ask folks to do things, and I can sense that scorn in the expressions on their face and things like that. God reads the hearts just like you can read the scorn on somebody's face when they don't want to be bothered with you around you. How about that? In Jesus' view, trying to identify whom one is called to love is an obvious attempt to relinquish responsibility. Look at that. That goes deep. Do you remember that the question has often been asked by many of us, when one black person stands up, another person begins to put them down. That's because they want to escape their own responsibility. How about that? That's why that takes place. Because when one stands up, that lets you know that you should be standing up as well and that you are not doing what you're supposed to do. To do so is reveals one motivation of trying to find a way to avoid obeying God rather than embracing the call to love as God's love. And he said, "He that showed mercy on him, that's the one that's special." Lifetime call. Then Jesus said unto him, "Go and do likewise." That's a lifetime call for you. Do that. Go do that. Looking for a loophole. A lot of people be looking for a loophole. By asking the question, "Who is my neighbor?" The lawyer in our lesson text was looking for a loophole. How about you? Are you looking for loopholes in life? Loopholes of being able to choose whom he was responsible and cared for and cared for. Surely God didn't intend for him to love all people. Surely God did not merit this time and resources. Yes, God do surely want you to love each other. Yes, he does want you to be inclusive. All right. Our prayers for today, as we close out the lesson for today, we hope everything is going well and that God has been with you and continue to be with you every day. We thank you for listening to the Sunday School lesson. Please share the Sunday School lesson. If you want to leave a comment, you can email me at freddiechoward@gmail.com. You can find me on Facebook. You can inbox me on my Facebook page. Anything about the Sunday School lesson that you like or would like us to do or that you don't like, whatever it is, let us know how our teaching is doing. We thank God for that opportunity that he has given us during this pandemic to do just that. Every single person is someone who should strive to love. Jesus' parable of today's lesson leaves no room for self-justification. No room for self-justification. If we are looking for a very way out of loving that person who is too difficult, too much trouble, frankly, problem wouldn't help us, well, wouldn't you're going the wrong way. That's wrong. Be doers of God's word. Be inclusive. You betray our heart when you do that. You do what is right, okay? Do what is right. Let us do our closing prayer. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the great commandment for your glory and our fulfillment. Love thyself as you love thy neighbor. We want to love you with all that is within us, and we want to love our neighbor, whomever you place before us, whoever we come in contact with, in the way we love ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Thoughts for you to remember? Good Samaritan asks, how can I be a neighbor? A good Samaritan asks, how can I be a good neighbor? We look forward to October 25th, God willing. Love never fails. Lesson for October the 25th. It will come from 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, verses 1 through 13. Devotional reading going to come out of Romans, the 12th chapter, 9 through the 21st verse. Your background scripture will come out of 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, to 27th verse, and the 14th chapter, and verse 1. On behalf of all of us here at Antioch Baptist Church, we thank you for listening to us today, and you go in peace. Because God has peace with him. Love somebody. Care for somebody. And on behalf of all of us here at Antioch Baptist Church and me here in the studios here located at 231 6th Avenue here in Beatrice, we thank you for listening for the Sunday School lesson for this Sunday, October the 18th, 2020. Make sure you're prepared to vote and that you're praying as you're voting and lift up the leaders that are elected among us. Again, thank you, and God bless. God willing, you'll hear us again next Sunday. Take care now. God bless.